Welcome back, listeners, to another podcast episode of Delusional and Exhausted. That's what it's called.
Has it been that long? Now you're making me second guess us.
No, Delusional and Exhausted.
And it proves our name. We're starting off already delusional, maybe because we're exhausted. Okay, go ahead.
I am your host, Jada, and joining me is my co-host, Dr. Rice, a.k.a. Mom. So, Mom, today's topic is about nepotism in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And so, in recent years, the term Nepo Baby has gained significant attention, sparking debates across social media and professional platforms. Nepo babies, as a definition, is children of prominent families who leverage family connections to land high-profile jobs, whether that be in the workplace or the entertainment industry. And so, in shaping the workforce, it's been a pressing issue with nepotism being a common topic. But do Nepo babies truly impact the workforce in measurable ways, from the influence of familial networks to the implication of employee morale? This question challenges us to reconsider how talent is recognized, nurtured, and rewarded in today's job market. So with that being said, my first question is, how do Nepo babies impact workplace dynamics?
So that's a really good question, Jada. And until you brought up this topic, I don't know that I had given it much thought. I think from a talent perspective, obviously that's the work that I'm in. And so it behooves me to think of this because in my position, I often get asked if I can help friends and family members. People ask me for jobs all the time. And now that we're sort of drilling down into this topic, I had to almost take a step back because growing up in Zambia, I don't know that even then I was really aware of nepotism existing. But now that we're having this conversation and I think back to businesses and jobs that people had, and it was family members working together, it almost seemed like it was your responsibility to bring others up with you. Mm-hmm. So if you had a great job and if you had a great position, then you would try to help your siblings. You would try to help a family member. It made sense that if you got your foot in the door, you would leave the door open and bring others in with you, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just what I saw growing up. I never thought about it. In fact, there almost seemed to be a level of pride if you could help your family members. If one of you got in, then it was going to be good for everybody else. So now looking at it from the way you're framing it for this conversation, I really had to take a hard look at that and think about whether or not it was intentional, because it wasn't driven by what a lot of people perceive to be greed when I look back on it. It was driven by loyalty, mm-hmm. right? It was driven by a commitment to your loved ones. So I think how your generation looks at it now and how I need to look at it as a talent leader requires me to go a little bit deeper and outside of the culture that I grew up in. So that's the challenge, right? Mm-hmm. But I do see it. I have experienced it in the workplace where someone who is prominent brings in someone else. And I do think that there are all the implications that you probably know about as you are researching this topic. So first of all, I think it erodes trust with people. If a leader or a prominent person is bringing someone in, that doesn't have to go through the same rigor or process or, you know, and they're just there because they're a family member, that's really hard for people. Right. And I think it begs the question of why, you know, it feels unfair. It feels really unfair. Okay. So, but I mean, this is something like the Nepo baby is not something that's a term that was coined by my generation. It's obviously on your minds. What is the perception from your perspective for your generation?
So as being part of the Gen Z population, nepotism is kind of looked down upon, but also encouraged in a sense, but okay. to an extent.
All right. Say more about that. How is it encouraged?
It's encouraged because in today's job market, mm-hmm. a lot of people my age, specifically Gen Z, are struggling to find jobs, and getting leads can be difficult, especially if you just graduated and don't have a lot of working experience. And so making connections has been a very huge deal for my generation, but it's difficult to kind of get a foot in the door when you don't have that power.
Yeah. And I feel that, right? Because, I mean, my kids are looking for opportunities, and I work in an organization where each of you could have a really good career because there's departments in my organization that are aligned to your career paths or to your, you know, your degrees and your education. And so as a parent, I would want to be able to just give you that, because parents want their kids to have everything. They don't want them to struggle. They don't want them to have hardship. And we're keenly aware of how difficult the current market is. I think you and I were talking the other day, like, it's not a candidate market right now. It's really, really difficult. There's so many applicants. Every time my talent acquisition team posts a role, there's hundreds of applicants for that one role. And so then your loved one's chance of being seen and selected seems like it dwindles. And so there's a part of you that feels, or at least a part of me, that feels like I really want them to be seen. So, you know, I've said in the past, if there's a position open, I say, hey, Jada, I think you'd be really great at this, or Brianna, you'd be really great at this, you should apply. And that is the line that I draw for myself, that I will encourage you to apply. And if your qualifications meet what they're looking for and they want to interview you, then fine. But I do not involve myself in any process. And I do the same thing for every single person who asks me, family, friend, person I'm connected to on LinkedIn, is apply. And if you are chosen as the right person, or if you're one of the people that they feel is qualified for the role that they want to speak to, then they will call you. But it is hard, because I also know that there's so, so many qualified people, right? And to your point, how do we help your generation? How do we help them get into the door? We're now seeing organizations sort of pulling back on things, right? Pulling back on how they think about diversity and how they hire. Right. And so it's not lost on me that you have greater challenges in front of you. But I think when we think about the implications and the consequences of doing that, then me wanting to level the playing field for people that I care about messes it up for other people.
Right.
So with that said, what are some of the things that your generation needs in terms of being able to get the opportunity? Like, if your parents are not going to just hand you these opportunities, does that feel harsh?
I would say yes and no.
Okay, you're very indecisive today. It's good and bad, yes and no.
It's just, I feel like there's two sides to everything.
Okay, that's fair.
And specifically, as a young adult, you're kind of, at least for our generation, it feels expected that you need to figure things out and that not everyone's going to be there to hold your hand. But at the same time, entering the workforce as a young adult can be overwhelming, mm-hmm. and sometimes can feel strange because, you know, depending on how you navigate the workforce, it's difficult to understand what they're looking for, if you have the qualifications, and job descriptions, in my opinion, can be misleading when they say entry level, but they expect you to have like 5 years of experience. So I think it's tough.
It is tough. Like, that is one of my pet peeves. Like, if it's entry level, then you should be looking for 0 to maybe 2 years of experience. That is my personal perspective, and that is my expectation of folks when we post roles for entry level folks. But I know what's happening now is because the market's saturated with talent. Right. There are people with 5, 7, 10 years that are taking entry level jobs because they need to work. I will say, though, despite what your generation might feel, from my perspective, you probably get a lot more support and handholding than my generation ever did. I feel like my generation was, you pick yourself up by the bootstraps and you figure it out and you go out there and no one's giving you stuff. So I think your generation is very vocal about what their needs are. Like, you're very clear on what feels fair and advocating for yourself. And you come up with terms like gaslighting and mental health, right? Like, you didn't come up with those, but you've made them prevalent in conversations in the workplace. That was not a thing when I was starting in my career. People didn't talk about mental health. They didn't talk about advocacy. They didn't talk about allies. They didn't talk about any of the things that your generation talks about. So your generation comes hard with expectations, right?
Yes.
And many of you are still living at home. Like, you're still on your parents' insurance. When I was growing up, a lot of folks at 18 or after high school, if you weren't going off to college, then you went and got a job. But there was almost an expectation that you were an adult at that point and you would be independent and doing things on your own for yourself going forward. It was not a common thing to stay at home after the age of 18.
Right. But I do feel now with how the market has changed, because moving out has become more expensive now, I feel like, compared to maybe 10 years ago. And I think that's also something that's difficult.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. It was not as expensive now, but it wasn't 10 cents. You know what I mean? It was still, we had to save and you had to take less. I feel like your generation kind of wants to move into like Fulton Market and live in a 5,000 square foot loft. Like, we made it work and we had like really crappy apartments and crappy cars. And again, I don't want to generalize the entire generation. I think every single generation has its stuff, right? But when we come back to nepotism and folks wanting to leverage that, whether it's a good or a bad thing, I think ultimately it will always have negative consequences. And there's something to be said, like, for your generation not having experience, like, you have to go out there and get it. You have to have the horrible, maybe it won't be horrible, but you have to start at the bottom sometimes. You have to gain that experience the hard way, and it's going to take a long time. I think your generation wants to be a CEO tomorrow, right? Like, you want to see immediate success quickly, and that's not always the case. Sometimes you have to be in the grind for a little bit longer. I mean, do you feel like your generation wants to grind?
I want to.
But do you really want to, or do you want kind of the lifestyle where you're just like, I'll work hard, but I want like a really nice life to show what I'm working for?
I mean, if it gets to that point through hard work, then I'll do it. But like you said, like, my generation wants things in microwave time.
Yeah.
And personally, I felt the same way, like, oh, like, I'm doing everything right, but I'm not where I want to be. And I know a lot of people, a lot of Gen Zers can relate to, yeah, like, having a degree, but also like not having enough maybe relevant experience and having to work jobs that aren't even related to what you went to school for or what you're trying to accomplish. And that sets you back even more, or at least it feels like it.
Yeah.
And so that's the frustrating part that my generation is trying to, I guess, explain.
Yeah. And I mean, we have to hear each other. And here's the thing, right? Like, if we peel this all the way back, nepotism isn't illegal. It isn't, right?
Right.
Like, if people want to be able to do those things, I mean, some organizations have rules and requirements around hiring family members and things like that. But you find in smaller, privately owned organizations, people can pretty much do what they want. And nepotism itself is not illegal. It can go down a path of having the consequences that I've talked about, where people are just not feeling like they trust people in the organization. They're feeling people are getting special treatment, you know, that it's, you know, they had to work so hard for certain things and other people don't have to work as hard. And so that cultivates the kind of culture that might not be great for the organization long term. If an organization wants to have longevity and they want to be known for having a great culture and they want to position themselves as one of those, you know, employers of choice, you have to do the right things. You have to do the right things, whether it's illegal or whether it's not illegal, right? Even if it's not illegal, you still have to try to be on the right side of things. But it doesn't mean that if you're in that position, you don't feel like total crap, that you are not using your power to help kids like you that are, or, you know, your age group that are struggling, right? So I don't think it's like it takes away. I feel like you may feel that people who are in a position of power and are not helping, and you're like, why aren't you helping me, right? Because we got to do the right thing. But it doesn't mean that we're not up at night thinking about how else can we be supporting you, how else can we be helping you, because the success of your child, from what I know as being a parent and every other parent that I know, is everything. You know, I think that we have to think about this differently. Rather than leveraging our power and our positions, I should be using my power within the position to really open up opportunities for younger people entering the workforce, whether it's through rotational programs or more internships or seeking out talent in different places. Like, we got to find a way to help more, you know, whether it's being a mentor or an ally. Does your generation believe in mentors? Like, what's the deal with that?
We do believe in having mentors.
Okay.
Honestly, I think our issue with mentors is we want to find an actual mentor who's supportive and actually wants to hear our goals. And I'm not necessarily like get us the job, but to kind of lead us in the right direction of, oh, like, you're on the right path, or let's, you know, review and look back at your resume or something like that. Just some guidance is what we're looking for.
Do you feel like your mentors don't offer that? What do you get from them now?
I mean, right now I don't have a mentor.
Why not? Who have you asked?
I feel like maybe like you're my part-time mentor. I don't know.
But I'm available to you full time. How am I a part-time mentor?
I don't know.
Could it be that you only want a part-time mentor?
I mean, I'm still trying to figure out, well, not really figure out, but I'm on a path, and right. I consult you for advice.
Okay.
Throughout, so I feel like that makes you a mentor in a sense.
And I'm happy to be that, and I think that you are on a tremendous path. Like, I feel very proud of everything that you've accomplished and everything that you do. But I do think that, back to kind of that microwave, like, instant solution, I think that's where I see you get frustrated. And I know that the reason we probably see a lot of nepotism or nepo babies or whatever it is that you're calling them in the workplace now is because people don't want to wait for an opportunity. They want one right now. And if you're, I think people can refer you. Like, I refer people to our organization all the time. And I think that if you have the qualifications to do the job, then you should absolutely be given the opportunity. If I hear of something that matches your interests and goals, I'm going to tell you. What I think creates the issue is if we have an accounting position or a finance position and you are an art major and we just give you the job, that is going to cost us. And the people who need that work done or the people who are already working in that department are questioning why you're there. I think that becomes the biggest problem with nepotism, is that people just hire anybody for anything.
Right.
Right? They're not saying, oh, you need a scientist? My niece is an award-winning scientist that went to this school and has these accolades. They're just like, oh, you know, she used to be a famous basket weaver and now she wants to get into science, so all you other people that did many, many years of school, you now are not given the opportunity. We're going to give it to her instead. And that's where this becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. And I actually read somewhere, well, not somewhere, from the Journal of Business Ethics, and they were highlighting how 30% of employees believe that the connections that are brought in through nepotism creates frustration and lack of productivity, lack of morale overall. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, as to your point, like, nepotism can be good, but it can't just be used for anything, for someone to do something that's not related to what they're qualified for.
Yeah. And I don't think you'll find any research that really fully supports nepotism. I think when I was preparing for this podcast, some of the things that I read about were, oh, well, if you hire a family member, then they're very proud of that brand and they'll be fully more committed than someone who's not a family member, or they'll be more loyal than someone who's not a family member. However, their point of entry into the organization was done on some shady terms, right? And so that's never going to make it okay. And I think there's something to be said when we talk about the grind. There's something to be said about how the people who are in those roles got there, right? There's something to be said about the work and the grit and the resilience that it requires to build your career. And I think there's pride in that. So you might not be, I'm not trying to hear that right now. I want the job I need to get. But looking back, I think you will feel a sense of pride when you've earned something for yourself. You may have gotten some help and some support, but when someone just hands something to you, I think you also feel, at least that's how I felt, like a sense of accomplishment. Like, that makes me feel really good, like I earned something. Does that not matter?
I feel like it does matter, personally. My journey with job hunting, I personally want to put my own effort into finding jobs and putting myself out there. I'm a bit reluctant to use, for example, you to get me a job, because I like to feel a sense of accomplishment. I like to feel like I did something on my own. And so, yes, ideally I would like to get a job on my own and seek opportunities, knowing that I did it myself.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So, with that being said, what ethical concerns? I know you touched on it a little bit with the examples you mentioned, but do you believe that a nepo baby entering a competitive workplace changes the dynamic, like in a specific sector of the business?
So I think it changes the dynamic of every sector in the business. I was doing some research and just looking through some research articles, and it's interesting because the research articles were not looking just at nepotism generally. They were looking at them in the hotel industry, in hospitals, in education, and consistently the outcomes were almost the same across the board. Lower engagement, lower morale, lower productivity, perception of unfairness, limited diversity in the workplace. I did not find one article in which I saw a different outcome or a different trend. Mm-hmm. So I think largely, it doesn't matter where it's happening, wherever it's happening, it's not going to have positive impacts.
Right. And I think to add on to that, I also read about how having nepotism in the workplace kind of erodes meritocracy in a sense, because I don't know, I just feel like because people who traditionally get a job, it's through merit and being able to show what you can do and speaking to your experiences, whereas nepotism, you kind of skip over that stuff a little, and I feel like it kind of gets lost in, you know, why the person is there to begin with, if it wasn't through merit, I guess.
Well, first of all, I feel like every time you speak, I'm like, she's so smart. Of course she's going to have everything she wants in the world. And that is not my bias. That's just fact. We can ask anyone. But you're right. I think that the problem that I've even seen is sometimes when someone's brought into the organization because of their relationships or because of their connections, it's not good for them either. And here's why. Because now you have this, like, people look at you. So even if you are really brilliant, even if you do have skills and you know, you are there on your own merit, if you don't have to go through the process, your whole reputation is already damaged by the way you came in, mm-hmm. right? There's already this kind of cloud over you where inevitably, once people understand the connection, there's going to be whispers, there's going to be conversation. It makes it harder for you as the individual. I think the immediate gratification of, oh, I got a job, or I'm getting this paycheck, or whatever, is fine, and that will happen. But part of being successful in the workplace is being in a team, right? Is being part of, you know, being able to collaborate with other people, and people trusting you, and people engaging you and involving you. When you come in under those circumstances, it makes it so much harder just for people to build trust with you, just for them to build a relationship with you, because whether or not you're qualified, their perception of you is already different, you know? So the only thing you're getting is that immediate, oh yeah, I got a job, I got in. But the long-term effects of that, I guarantee you, it's very, like, difficult. I don't expect to see someone, especially a junior person that comes into the organization, to stay long-term if they've come in under those circumstances. Like, I think it's very difficult to be successful in that. And you could be. I mean, there's a lot of organizations where people are like, oh, this is their person's son, and they worked here for 50 years. But that stigma kind of follows you everywhere.
So, personally, for you being working in HR, have you seen trends where retaining talent from people who are, like, I guess, who are part of, like, nepotism, do they stay longer or shorter?
I think back in the day, they probably stayed longer. I don't see them staying long term now. Because there's more awareness around this, right? So when I was starting in the workplace, if somebody's uncle hired their nephew or their sister's whatever, like, you knew what was going on, but we weren't a vocal generation. People weren't pointing it out. They weren't calling it out. Your generation, I don't know if you call them truth tellers or if they're just loud, but they're more likely to say something. Right? You guys are not going to let anything slide.
No.
No.
I think definitely now in my generation, a lot of Gen Z people are very vocal, and if they do see, like, nepotism, they're very quick to call it out and treat the person differently than someone else who got the job through the regular hiring process.
Yeah.
So.
And I felt your... You know, like, how do you guys say, like, you know, you got ate up or whatever. Like, I've seen when you guys want to say something, no, you know, you don't hold back.
No, we don't.
Yeah, so I feel like I wouldn't expect to stay in that environment. I wouldn't want to be part of it, because I think also on some deep level, you know that you are in an unfair situation that you probably didn't earn.
Right, and... Yeah. That kind of leads me to my next question, is how do you think Nepo babies perceive their success compared to someone who got the job without nepotism?
Unfortunately, I don't know. I think I've seen a variety of things, if I'm honest, right? I've seen sort of the Nepo babies that are very entitled, who think that they deserve to be there, that because of the person that they're connected with and that person got them in, that it's their right. And I think that's the worst. That individual, to me, will probably have the worst time trying to acclimate into the workplace, and I anticipate they'll probably leave the soonest. Now, I haven't done any sort of study around this, but that's what I would anticipate. Mm-hmm. I think what I also see are people like you who've worked incredibly hard, who've done all the things, and someone says, hey, you'd be great for this because I know your work ethic. I know how much you've put into your education. And so when you come into an organization, everybody else perceives what's going on and they call it nepotism, but you might be completely unaware, because in your mind, you're like, I worked really hard. I earned this. I didn't just expect to get this, right? Like, I yes, somebody got me the job, but I also have the credentials, or I'm also like all the other people. Maybe I'm not more credentialed than all the other applicants, but I'm the same as them. I'm also a new college graduate. I'm also out here trying to make a way. So I think they might not always perceive the nepotism. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them do, and they're just a pain, right? They just... they're just very self-righteous about it, and they feel like they're, you know, like I said, they deserve to be there. But not all people that have that connection. In fact, some of them are working just as hard. They still carry around that label. And I'm sure you see this in your generation too, maybe not in the workplace, but probably with celebrities, where because they have a famous parent, they are now famous, but that doesn't mean that there is an expectation of them to show up. Like, they still have to do a job. They still have to be good. They still have to, you know, deliver certain things. Mm-hmm. They probably just don't have to go through. And I remember, I may have read about one of, I think it was one of the Jenners that's the model. And
Kendall?
Yes. And I think she's very quickly made it up to the ranks of sort of a supermodel. But when I was growing up, and the supermodels were like Tyra Banks and... like, they had to really be on the grind. Like, I was reading some articles where she's like, there's 15 of us sleeping in one small studio apartment, running around the city, trying to get our book seen, trying to book a show. Like, they were not on a private jet. But I'm saying, I'm sure Kendall Jenner still has to work hard, right? I'm sure she still has to, and I don't know what she, like, I don't know if she's, like, what she's doing every day. But I'm assuming that she does. I'm sure she has to be on shoots for long periods of time, that she has to travel, that she has to do all the things that other supermodels have to do, right? Mm. I don't know. Maybe she's not a good example because I don't know her life. But I think that there's still an expectation of her to show up and do a job.
Right. I agree.
And I don't know if she's a nepo baby, so I don't know if that's a good example.
I believe she is.
Okay. All right. Because you can tell me if I'm way off.
No, I think that's a good example. Like, even if you are a nepo baby, you still have to show up and perform and do your best.
Yeah. So just as a point of curiosity, does she receive a lot of, like, negative, like, things because of her status, if you consider a nepo baby? Or do you feel like she solidified herself as a model and she's earned it within her right to be where she is?
Personally, from what I've read in the media, people criticize her a lot for being a nepo baby because she made it very clear that she struggles with mental health. And a lot of people are like, why are you struggling with mental health? Like, you have all this money. Like, you don't have to, you don't have to be sad about anything. And so a lot of people criticize her for being a nepo baby because everything was allegedly given to her, and she didn't really have to work as hard as other people starting from the bottom trying to become supermodels and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like as a celebrity, it's harder as a nepo baby because you're criticized from all angles.
Yeah, that's true. And it's very public, too.
Yes.
Like, if you come and you sneak into my accounting department, it's only going to, like, affect... only the accounting people are going to talk about you.
Right.
Well, they might tell other friends in other departments, but it's definitely not on the scale of having millions of followers, right? But it's still negative. I think the impact felt is not good no matter what your status is.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I guess overall, since we've kind of covered different parts of nepotism, do you think nepotism will continue to grow in the workplace?
I hope it doesn't. I think that's one of the benefits of your generation being vocal about things, is that maybe people be more aware, because again, I don't know that this was, and maybe it was done with a lot of intentionality, I can't say that with certainty, but I don't think that people are, I'm more aware of it now. I think about it. I never used to think about it before, and I think about it because your generation talks about it constantly, right? So I don't think it'll grow. I do think, though, organizations have an opportunity to structure themselves in a way that provides more opportunity for other people. And I think people like me that are in HR, that are leaders in that space, have a responsibility to ensure that we don't have to rely on things like this. Like, we don't make space and we don't create opportunities for things like this to occur because we have other things in place. We have the right policies. We have the right requirements. We make sure, and this is something I'm actually doing in my organization right now. I have someone on my team that's looking at end-to-end employee life cycle, what our policies and processes are, because we want to make sure that they're fair, that they're equitable. And that's not to say they'll be perfect, but from a policy perspective, if we have a policy that says they have to go through this process or you can't hire these folks unless they do XYZ, it makes it harder for things like that to happen. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where you stop or you decrease nepotism, not simply by your generation being vocal, but by organizations putting into place the right parameters to ensure fairer processes for hiring to begin with. That's like table stakes. That's where they need to start.
I think that's really refreshing to hear because I believe my generation kind of believed like, oh, HR is against us, which we'll probably talk about.
We should talk about that because HR is not just, someone said to me the other day, oh, you're in HR, you just hire and fire. And I was like, no, I do a million other things. And hiring and firing, especially the firing part, is the least amount, like the smallest amount of my job. It is the worst part of my job. I don't care how long you've been in HR. If you're an HR person, for the most part, you really want people to be successful. You want to be able to provide them with the support they need and the tools they need and all the things they need to be successful because you really do see them and you see how valuable they are to the organization. So we're not just out here peeking behind corners and under desks and out of closets waiting to fire people, waiting to catch you doing something crazy. You got me on the soapbox now. So I'm going to come down because we should talk about this at some other point in time. Yes. But no, HR's job is to make sure that there's processes in place to level the playing field for people. That's part of, it's not their only job. We do like 3 million jobs, but that's definitely one of them.
Okay. Yeah, that, like back to my point, that feels really good that companies are starting to look at their policies and kind of straighten them out to make it more inclusive for people to apply and feel like they're being seen. Any final thoughts?
No, I think it's an interesting topic. I learned a lot from doing this with you.
Me too. It's been very fruitful.
And on that delusional note, hopefully we'll see you all not in, like, months. We'll be less delusional and exhausted.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Mom, for having this conversation with me. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you, Jada Rice.
Thank you.